morning's scripture reading will be from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. It's James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Good evening, ladies. Good morning.
I don't want to speed the day up anymore than it's supposed to be. Appreciate very much all of you being with us this morning. I do hope that you will consider being here this evening, because this morning's lesson, or I should say this evening's lesson, will kind of piggyback off of what we're going to discuss this morning. There are a lot of things that when you read the scriptures, especially when you look at this text here, that you know is like a mirror. You look in it and it casts a reflection upon you. And also you see it reflecting the world and what's going on in the world. And then you also see a reflection of the church and what goes on, what the scripture teaches versus what you're doing. I want you to imagine something with me. I want you just to imagine that you are a visitor here. Just a visitor. You're not a member here, but you've been visiting here for, let's say, about 2 months. And being a visitor here for the 2 months, you have gone to Bible classes. You have been part of what the church is doing here. You listen to the teachings. And at some point in time, you found yourself where you've gotten to know some of the people that are here through some other contacts with them at other places. By the time you have reached this point, you've been here for about 2 months, would you want to place your membership here and be a part of this family of God, to work with them, to be all that God's asked of a church to be? I want you to think about something when it comes down to reflection. When you look in the Bible and you see these passages, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, verse 16 talks about being light and also about being the salt. Light of the world. Light of the world, like a city set on a hill, cannot be hidden. But the point of that is, when you look at verse 16, this is to glorify God. This is not in any way magnifying what your talents and your abilities are. It's all about God. Then when you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and you look at verse 11 and verse 16, he talks about all these responsibilities of verse 11 and verse 12, pastors, teachers. And he talks about how important they are to edifying the church, perfecting the saints. And then it's to make us be more like the image of Jesus, verse 13, verse 14. And then when you turn to the book, one of the Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, there is this emphasis there upon presenting ourselves no longer as the old man, but now the new man. The new man that is created or renewed after the knowledge of the image of him that created him in verse 10. And that image is found in verse 12, 13, 14, and verse 15. And then when you look at the book of 1 John chapter 3, there is a very simple statement that is made in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are." Now you see all these things that are supposed to be reflected within us. You go from the standpoint of being the light and our responsibilities, and then we're supposed to have a new man, and now we're supposed to find ourselves understanding that who we are in 1 John 3, verse 1, is our children of God. And by the time you find yourself among this group of people for 2 months, would you be able to see all of those four characteristics within the people that are here? that would in some way cause you to want to be a member of the church here. There is something to be said about reflection that is very important. And I don't want us to look at this lesson as one of these things. All of us need to be on our best behavior when we come in here. As if to say, we are not going to slouch over. We are not going to do anything really out of ordinary or unusual to embarrass us or embarrass anybody around us. We've got to be on our best behavior. I'm not trying to present something that would help you understand we just got to be on our best behavior because we don't ever know who's going to come in and what they're going to say and what they're going to think of us. I want you to just examine a few things with me. What are we reflecting when it comes down to preaching? In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you notice what is stated by Paul to Timothy about preaching in verse 1, he said that I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside into fables. And then he says in verse 5, but be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill thy ministry. When you think about the preaching that is done here at this place, when somebody comes in and visits for 2 months, what do they see in the context of the preaching? Is it political or is it spiritual? Is it a matter of what you see in this text that this person is doing everything they can to make sure that it's negative as well as positive, we would say. It's reproving as well as it's exhorting. And it's a matter of patience with that. It's also a matter of we're not trying to, or this preacher that is here is not trying to itch the people's ears so that they will make sure that they stay here and we won't lose anybody. And he's not trying to in some way comfort their lust and present to them an aspect of you just keep doing what you're doing. I'm not going to say anything about that. But he will understand how important it is, as in verse 5 says, fulfill thy ministry. Do the teaching that needs to be done. What will that verse, or what will a visitor see regarding the preaching that's done here? By whom it is? Not so much looking at the personality of the individual, but looking at the content of what the person's doing. And at the same time, think about if this person is teaching and preaching, as demonstrated here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, is he living up to the things that he's speaking? In other words, we would say, is he practicing what he's preaching? And 2, when you look at the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, is he one of these individuals that you have either heard of or seen yourself, who is, whether they're a believer or unbeliever, he's teaching them, as it says in verse 20, publicly or from house to house. Is he doing that? Is he involved in that kind of thing? In other words, is this individual who's doing the preaching casting a reflection that's very, very much identical to what you see found in the book of 2 Timothy 4? In the book of Acts chapter 20. It's very important that that be something that is reflected in what this visitor is seeing. Not that in any way, as we're saying, we're not trying to put on our best behavior, we're not trying to put all the glitter and the glamour in front of him or her and saying, come see us and come be among us. It's just a matter biblically and spiritually, are we presenting this kind of reflection? That this person would say, I want to be a member there. And then think too about this. What about the leadership? In the book of Acts chapter 20, again, we will notice something that was stated to the elders at Ephesus in Miletus when Paul said in verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, and in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops or overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. And again, when you see these people that are coming here, would they in any way be persuaded to be a member here after they've been here for 2 months and say, I've seen something in these elders that demonstrates what Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says. That there are definitely overseeing. They're not in any way allowing the false teaching to come in. They're definitely trying to spare the flock from all these instances. They're definitely firm in their conviction. They're definitely finding themselves feeding the flock in a way that demonstrates what the scriptures teach. They're responsible. They know their leadership. They know what they're dependent upon. Dependent upon to do this, and they're being submissive to the will of God, and they're not necessarily being submissive to the will of the people. And that's very important that they know their flock, as it talks about in this chapter. Are they leading? Are they definitely someone, when there is someone who has fallen in sin, are they compromising or are they convicting of that person in that sin? Do they find themselves neglecting to rebuke the sin, or are they individuals who are trying to recover those that are in sin? And at the same time, when you think about the leadership ability of a shepherd, do they have the ability through their compassion and their concern and their conviction and the truth that they find within the Scriptures, are they willing to see that there is love that needs to be demonstrated? Or they see that there's also that firmness that needs to be demonstrated to the family of God here? Do they witness that while they're visiting for the next 2 months? That eldership has such a relationship with the brethren that the brethren will go to them and discuss with them matters that are very concerning to them. And they won't always go and bend the preacher's ear to let them know what they think about what's going on. In other words, after 2 months, through what the elders are reflecting with that individual or family, whatever the case may be, want to place their membership here. That's an important reflection. And then think, too, about this case of the book of Acts chapter 6. Let's talk about the deacons just a minute. We got half of them over here, and the other half are over here. I don't know why that is, but that's just the way it is, I guess. But yet, when you look at the book of Acts chapter 6, you will notice something that takes place with the appointment of these men to do what they're doing and taking care of the needy saints that are here, these widows. In verse 3, it says, "Look out among, therefore, the brethren, from among you 7 men of good report, full of spirit, of wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." When you find yourself appointing deacons, or are we looking at individuals who, when this person is observing and seeing this reflection in these deacons, in this leadership, are they seeing people are taking care of the business that's been assigned to them by the elders? Adequately, properly, diligently, without apology, without excuse, and knowing are they dependable or are they insufficient? Are they responsible or are they indifferent? What are they witnessing? Are they very active in their participation in this work that the elders have assigned to them without all this tendency to make excuses? I mean, what do you see? What do they see in the reflection of that? Very crucial to the family of God and them becoming to be a member here. Are they like what the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, verse 13? Are they the men of the good standing, as he says here, of great boldness of faith? That's a very interesting question. Are they casting that reflection? And then think about this. When it comes down to the idea of worship, what does this visitor, when they've been here for 2 months, what are they witnessing? What is it that is being reflected regarding this worship? In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, for example, you will notice something that is stated in verse 24 and 25. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near." That word provoke, some versions uses two words for that, and it's the word stir up. I think the English Standard Version and the New King James Version uses the word stir up or exhort, provoking. Stirring up brethren is something that's very critical to a church and its worship. That these people that would come here are definitely interested in coming. They're also prepared when they find themselves coming. And they're wanting to do everything they can to give reverence and honor to the God that they serve and that calls them children of God. See, God is the one that calls us children of God. Are they prepared when they do come? Are they coming ready? Sufficient amount of time to come? Do they come late? Do they leave early before the services are even over? What do these people witness? What's the reflection that they're seeing among those people when it comes down to this assembly, when it comes down to worship? Not just from the standpoint of their attitude in it and their spirit in it. Just look at them. Just look at them. What are they dressed for? Is it the reverent occasion? Or is it as if they were going to a ball game somewhere, or a concert, or a movie? something like that. See, these things that they're reflecting are crucial to this person. And they're observing all these kind of things. They're looking at people when they're worshiping as if they're at a story hour and they're just dozing off. You know, like at a library, you know, you sit there and listen to the story over and over and over and over again. All of a sudden you just doze off. Or they're at some kind of event like a ball game and everybody's just so hyped up that they just can't settle down and get themselves involved in reverence to God. And think too about the numbers. When they look at the numbers on the board, if they were to look at the numbers on the sheet on that board back there, and they see the differences between how many people would be here Sunday morning versus Sunday night or Wednesday night, and they look at that difference, they wonder, well, why is that difference there? Why is that difference the way that it is? Is there something that's going on and that I'm not aware of? Or is there a lack of attention to this idea of reverence and worshiping? What are we reflecting to this person who's been here for a couple of months? Do they look at these people who are coming together to want to desire their will to be done? Or are they looking to want God's will to be done? Very crucial, isn't it? But let's go on and talk a little bit more about the idea of what are we reflecting when it comes down to personal involvement. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, which we mentioned just a moment ago, but I didn't read, I want to notice verse 16 where he talks about, in this passage, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplies according to the working and due measure of each several part, make the increase of the body under the building up of itself in love. What you think about this idea of involvement? Or another, there's another word that you could associate with this, and that's the word indifference when it comes down to the work of the family of God. It's either involvement or it's a matter of indifference. What do they see is important to those people that are worshiping at this place with this preaching and with this eldership and with these deacons that are leaders? When it comes down to the involvement, there's a lot of things that you can be involved in doing. And you could talk about group leaders. And this person that's been here for 2 months may have found themselves attending a group meeting somewhere. And as a result, do they see it's hard to find a group leader? Do they see it's hard to get all the people in the group together? Do they see that when those people are in that group meeting, that there's somebody who immediately will respond to what's going on and adequately, sufficiently, do what needs to be done for this person or these people or whatever the case may be? I mean, are they seeing the people that are hesitant about this, or they see the people that want to jump right in and get involved in what's taking place? And then, too, I think about this parable over in the book of Matthew chapter 21 where Jesus is talking about his authority to these people. And one of the things he mentions is in this parable is that there are some people, like this man who has 2 sons, and he asks them to go out into the vineyard and work. And verse 28, he says, a man had 2 sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I'm not going to. I will not. But afterward, he repented himself and went. Would that be characteristic of what this person would see after 2 months and how they see people involved? Or would it be like the next one in verse 30? He came to the second one and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I'll go. But he didn't do it. He went not. Which of the two did the will of the Father? And you make an application of that to what we're dealing with right here. What would they see? What kind of involvement do they see among the people that are members of this church here? Is the involvement that they see of the people, does it depend? Does it depend on whether or not it's a spiritual thing or whether it's a physical thing, a social kind of thing? And that way they know just how much emphasis they have in their involvement in the church. It depends upon it being spiritual, or it depends upon it being physical or social. They may be more likely to do the social than they would the spiritual. If there were classes somewhere else that other brethren would have, is it going to be something that they're going to fully participate in steadily and diligently? Is it going to be something that they are going to just kind of say that's not as important? Yet when it comes down to some other social an event that pertains to social things, then they're right there, hand and foot, bring everybody with them as they can. That, see, this is what this person is going to see within the 2 months that they're going to be there, watching what's taking place among all those people there. Or is the involvement, and here's something interesting to think about, is the involvement that we have, the personal involvement that we have, when it comes down to a visitor, is that we're trying to figure out who this person is. See him come in. Who is that person? Never seen him before. And we watch him. And then we watch him come in, and we watch him go out. And then we watch him to the point that we go watch what kind of vehicle they get in. And just see what kind of car they drive off in and where they're from. Rather than just crowding them and getting around them and welcoming them here to know how much we appreciate their presence. See, these are the things that you're going, this person's going to witness when they're around these people that are involved. Or when they talk about the idea of questioning the personal involvement of the brethren. And when they think about the involvement of the brethren, I wonder if they think about it from their conclusion would be similar to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, where it says, "For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of solid food." Are they going to see more immaturity on the involvement of the people, or more maturity and full grown the part of the people? My dad was telling me about someone that has been, their involvement in the church is only about one particular subject. Whatever, if you could talk about Genesis, but this subject is in the New Testament, they'll talk about that subject in the New Testament in the book of Genesis. It's like they got to bring this subject up all the time. Is that the kind of involvement that they see when it comes down to spirituality regarding this church? Or are we going to deal with the subject, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to understand more of it so that we will be able to teach others also? And then this one. When it comes down to reflecting, what about the idea of fellowship? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we talk about this idea of fellowship from what we are given through the blood of Jesus. In 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, "If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That fellowship among the saints. If in the church here that this visitor comes and sees, do they see the fellowship is something vividly demonstrated that these people are connected as a family of God, and they're not so much interested in maybe their physical connection to each other, economically, biologically, social standing, those kind of things, that it's really to them they see more that they're spiritually connected? And do they see this fellowship is based upon the young to the old, or the young to the young, or the old to the young, or the old to the old? How many? What do they see? It's only a reference of the old talk to the old, the young talk to the old, or old to the young to the young. How do they see all that regarding the fellowship of the brethren? Is it partial or is it impartial? Is it a matter of favoritism toward one, because they believe a certain thing that they believe and they have the same views on a certain issue that they do? Or is it a matter of they have an understanding of the unity of the faith and the bond, and the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace? Like the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 talks about. Are they willing to do what they can for others because that person's going to return a favor for them? Is that how the fellowship is, or is it because that person needs it who cannot give to them in return? These are the things that this person may very well see is reflected. And they're not necessarily going over all the people with a fine-tooth comb, but yet these are observations that they're going to witness. How large is that fellowship that those people have among themselves? Is it very small or is it very big? One of the most interesting things of the top five things, this is statistically, of the top five things, and I'm not saying that we need to go by statistics, but of the top five things that most people observe when it comes down to a church is the same thing that you see, and we talked about in our class this morning, in our adult class, in the auditorium. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when it discusses this idea of a person coming in verse 23, 24, and 25. And in this text, it talks about these people who speak with unknown tongues. They speak with tongues, and there comes in men unlearned, unbelieving. They will think you're mad. But the thing that I want to point out, and what most people in the world look at, the top, one of the top five things, is at the end of verse 25, when this person is hearing the message and they're convicted of heart, so he will fall down on his face and worship God, declaring that God is among you indeed. That's one of the top five things that people are looking for, the presence of God. That they know within the lives of these people, they are definitely following this God of whom they say they worship. That's what they're looking for. That's a reflection. Now, with all that being said, after this person is here for the 2 months that they're here, would they decide that this is a place they want to worship and want to be a member? That's a very interesting question. Yet there's one thing I want you to think about this morning, or a couple of things real quick. One is the sin of discouraging others. There is something to be said for what the book of Psalms chapter 69 verse 6 says. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord Jehovah, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek thee be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. That last part of that verse, O Lord Jehovah of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek thee be confounded because of me. I don't want them to be confused and led all astray. I don't want them to find themselves confused about what it is that they're to be doing and what they're supposed to be thinking about when they come here. The world, it discourages us enough already in what they do to lead people away from this church here and other churches and just religion in general. We don't need to be the ones who will add to that problem and discourage them from further wanting to be a part of what we're doing here if they've been here for the last 2 months. There's something to be said in the book of Luke chapter 17 that I want you to notice with me, and that he discusses in this chapter regarding the idea of stumbling. When he says in verse 1, it is impossible but that occasions of stumbling should come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were well for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and we were thrown into the sea, rather than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. We don't need to find ourselves doing that kind of thing. That we would add to what the world's trying to do in discouraging these people, and we further discourage them. This is sin. This is very serious. We don't want to find ourselves involved in that very thing. Chapter 11, the same book. In the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 52, it says, woe unto you lawyers, for you took away the key of the knowledge. You enter not in yourselves, and them that are entering in you hinder. It's almost like being a hypocrite. Some would like to come, but yet we're the hindering process for them becoming to be what they need to be. And he says this is something that is exposed that doesn't need to exist. It's very sinful. And it's very serious. One man said, no man is so insignificant as to be sure his example can do no harm. No man is so insignificant as to be sure his example can do no harm. There's going to be a lot of people that are lost out here in this world because they made bad choices. And there's going to be even more added to that that will be lost because there's been a church somewhere that created a stumbling block for them that kept them from the family of God. Yet we need to think about how we can improve our promise. And that goes along with what you see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that is stated in verse 13 to verse 16, where you find these people that live by faith who were diligently doing what needed to be done even though they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For they say such things that make it manifest that they are seeking after the country of their own, not after country of their own. Are seeking after a country of their own, and if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the promise that God has given. And as a result, these people are diligently striving for this city. They want to go somewhere else besides this world because they know that in this world, that's not all there is. In other words, it's like Matthew chapter 25 talks about, they know the joy of the Lord is just partially experienced here, but they want to let God let them into the joy of the Lord when it comes down to heaven. Therefore, they seek this better country. I think it's important that we know that we should be the people, like Paul stated in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, that you have fought the good fight. You have kept the faith. You've kept the faith. A few years ago, I remember someone, not here, a few years ago, I remember someone saying to me, among the church where we were, that they said they believed that they were so glad to be part of this church and the size of this church, and they like this group just like it is. Just like it is. They didn't want to add to it. They didn't want to take from it. Let's just keep it just the way that it is. There's only one problem with that. God never accepted that. God never accepted average, never accepted status quo, never accepted just normal. God always accepted Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 10. He talked about excellent things and approved the things that are excellent. Here's what we need to think about. As there was a readiness to will, so there may be the completion also out of your ability. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. That this is our desire, and this is our anticipation, and this is what we're trying to reflect. The readiness to will, and we have no problem in trying to complete what is our ability to do within what God's grace has provided for us. This lesson this morning is not one of these things where I look at and say, okay, you've never heard this before. It is just in one sense of the word, just like the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about in verse 12 to verse 13, you may have heard this before. It's to put us in remembrance of what we know and then also help us understand that when we're reminded of what we know, then we're responsible to carry out what we know. Like James chapter 4, verse 17 says. By the end of 2 months, if you were a visitor here, would you decide that this is a place that you would want to be a member, be a part of, and to worship and serve God in the way that pleases the Lord? That's a sobering question. Very sobering question. For those of you that are here this morning that are not members of the body of Christ, it's important that you understand what the Scriptures initially say to you as a sinner. And that is a desire that you should have to repent, a desire that you should have, as they did in the book of Acts chapter 2, to have all those sins removed. Repent that you will be baptized in the water to have all those sins removed for the remission of your sins, as he says in that verse, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Knowing the responsibility that you have from that day forward to represent, reflect, be the ambassador for Christ Jesus. The one who saved you. And the one that you would hope would save others just like you. Be a Christian. Be what God asked you to be. For those people that are Christians, that know that the thing that you're reflecting now is nowhere close to a light. It's nowhere close to being a child of God. It's nowhere close to being the new man. It's all more so the flesh and the world. Then it's time to repent of that. And find yourself seeing what the Scriptures say that you should be. Changing your life and asking God in prayer to forgive you. And also find yourself reflecting the image of the Son, Jesus Christ, who saved you from your sin. Do what's right. While together we sing this song.